Well, hello, I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. I am at Williamson NFL. I am at WilliamsonFootball.com. It's great to chat with you. One little news nugget. And by the way, I'll tell you more about this going forward throughout the week, but I am lining up some draft guests, start really digging in the draft. I'm doing a lot of behind-the-scenes draft talk, you know, prep myself. But the Titans signed Benny Logan. That's a pretty nice pickup for, you know, second week in April. You know, I mean, he's a good player. This will be his third team in 3 years. Vrabel comes from Houston, who basically comes from New England, Cornell ties. They use nose tackles. They use, you know, Brown, Branch, Wilfork, Reeder, you know. So they like, it's a nose tackle friendly system. But he's more than just a hold two gap over the center and demand double teams. Logan moves pretty well, and their defensive line, their big people move pretty well now in Tennessee. Of course, Casey, but I'm talking about the other guys. I'm talking about the nose tackle types. So I like this pickup. I mean, he can run and chase a little bit. He's pretty active as nose tackles go. So nice pickup for the Titans, and they're actually the team that I'm in the middle of writing up as we speak. State of the Titans address for my website, Williamson Football. But that also brought me that a couple of you on Twitter over the last couple of weeks have called me out because my avid listeners here, seems like a million years ago, but when the Browns made all their moves, Jarvis Landry, Tyrod Taylor, I kept telling you, I'm going to give you a show dedicated to the Browns, and I analyzed a bunch of different moves, but I never really told you about the Browns. You know, we never talked Browns specifically. So my former employer, I was a scout there for one whole year. I was there from, I got hired the day after they drafted Kellen Winslow Jr. You know, being a Pittsburgh guy, that was Big Ben's rookie year. It was the year I was with the Browns. And then I was in the war room when we drafted Braylon Edwards with the third pick overall. So my former employer, I wanted to talk about, dedicate a show basically to the state of the Browns. And as I've been telling you, I've been writing these reports up for every team. They're almost 2,000 words each, some even more. 32-part series. So I'm not going to read it verbatim, but I gave this one away free as well on the website. And there's a lot to discuss. And I always start these articles with the departed, you know, a little Nicholson action. Joe Thomas, retired. You know, that's a big one to overcome. And it really is one you're not going to overcome. I mean, and there isn't going to be a replacement in there with the first pick or the fourth pick. That's going to be a tough one. Others that have left, there are a couple big names. I mean, Jason McCourty. That one made no sense to me. I don't understand why they did that. I thought he's a pretty good player. I thought the Patriots basically stole him. They didn't need to save cap space. Isaiah Crowell, I think he's been an underrated performer on a bad offense for the last couple years. Nice pickup by the Jets. Danny Shelton also is a trade with the Patriots. Goes back to what we were just saying about that style of defense once nose tackle types. I don't think the Greg Williams style of defense does. I think they're looking for attacking players. Shelton's going to be a free agent after the year, so they figured they'd get something for him. Kaiser goes to the Packers, which I think, hallelujah for him. I mean, I thought he was really treated wrong last year. And Cody Kessler, yet another quarterback, goes to the Jags. Tyrod Taylor comes in their place. And Drew Stanton as well. Taylor cost him a draft pick. Stanton was a pickup. So out with Kaiser, out with Kessler, in with Taylor, in with Stanton, and going to be a first overall pick, I think. I mean, I'm pretty darn sure of. In with Jarvis Landry. In with Carlos Hyde. I'm a fan. Chris Hubbard will be the new right tackle. EJ Gaines is one of my favorite pickups they made. Demarius Randall came in the swap for Kaiser, and he was a free safety. They turned into a corner in Green Bay. They're going to put him back at free safety, which hopefully that allows Jabril Peppers to then to be the strong safety into the line of scrimmage instead of playing in Toledo and lining up, you know, so far off the line of scrimmage. TJ Carey, Terrence Mitchell were brought in. To me, I don't like that swap. I'd rather have McCourty than those two. Donald Stevenson will probably compete for that left tackle job in Thomas's wake. Chris Smith, Donald Fells, and Stanton, who I've mentioned. So that's the changes that we've seen in Cleveland. Big ones, as you can imagine. I mean, they have tons of cap space. They have tons of draft picks. More to come, obviously, in the draft. But the free agency thing's pretty much done. It's a team that's won one game in the last 2 years. We know that. See, I think if this team wins 5-6 games, shows improvement, everyone will be like, man, remember that Sashi Brown time? They didn't know what the heck they were doing. And yeah, I know they didn't pick Wentz, they didn't pick Watson, but their plan kind of worked. Their plan was get as many draft picks as you possibly can, rebuild. I mean, they made that happen, and they allowed Dorsey to walk in there with a real nice handful of cards, a lot of aces and kings. I mean, that's an enviable job to walk in with those kind of resources. I have questions about the head coach. I have questions about ownership. But I am pretty sold on Dorsey as a guy to make moves, and they're obviously better now. But I also think that this team should have won more than one game over the last 2 years, too. You know, that this roster was not devoid of talent. I mean, it was not, an unwinnable situation. I mean, I bet Belichick would have won a couple games. You know, I mean, I mean, obviously Belichick's the greatest. But the key here, and I think we have talked about this a little bit, was the turnovers. I mean, that's just dreadful. I mean, they turned the ball over 17 times more. Broncos were second in the league in turnover differential. Second worst, 31st in the league at minus 17. The Browns were at minus 28. Minus 28, that's 1.75 times per game they turned the ball over more than their opponent. Like, we're going to hand it to you once a game, and then once every three out of four games, too. We're going to give you the ball. That's crazy. You can't win like that. So that, of course, leads us to the quarterback situation. And I am a Kizer apologist. I thought that what they did from him schematically and what Jackson did to him was unbelievably wrong, but he turned the ball over a ton too. And that's the beauty of Tyrod Taylor. And we did have I did write an article about this, Tyrod Taylor and Alex Smith in particular, about them going to their new cities and Denver as well. We had that was like 2 weeks ago, where Taylor's really the best in the league at valuing the football. And it goes back since he's been a starter. And just that fact, mixed in with his legs and make a few more throws a Kizer doesn't, makes him a much more competitive team. You know, I mean, if you don't beat yourself, at least you're going to be in it. And some of this young talent can then develop. And you're not playing from behind where it's a close game and then you turn it over and then Kizer throws a pick in the end zone when things are going well and the game's over and then you can't run it in the fourth quarter. And, you know, so that fact that, you know, Taylor's a professional quarterback, I have mixed feelings about him. But the fact that he's going to make the running game better, not hand the ball to the other team, should at least make the transition of how to eventually win and allow the talent to come along in a suitable manner, while maybe envisioning a culture where this team actually wins some games. So that's what's going to happen there. And then they're going to draft quarterback first overall. I mean, I think we know that. I think it'll be Darnold. I keep hearing Allen as well. That would scare the heck out of me if I'm the Browns. But at least you have Taylor in place that Allen could sit a year or two, although that never, ever happens. So one of those guys is probably going to be the starter by week 10. I mean, that's just the way this league goes. But Taylor is really suited well to be the ideal caretaker, valuer of the football, like I said. The line, I thought this would be one of the better lines in the league last year after they signed Treader and Zeitler. Remember that happened just last year? So they've invested heavily, as well as keeping Betonio, another guard. Those guys all return. Thomas will be missed huge. But Hubbard's going to be a quality right tackle. So they got four good starters. And the guards might be great starters. I don't think they'll find a replacement for Thomas. But they're going to have a handful of dudes. Sean Coleman, Spencer Drango, Donald Stevenson fighting for that job. And maybe somebody steps up and isn't terrible. They also could absolutely use one of their second round picks. Or move up into the first round after they've already selected at 1 and 4. Or move back from 4 and end up with McGlinchey or somebody like that. So they have draft picks to make this happen. They got some, at least some bodies. None will be Joe Thomas. But I think this will be a pretty darn good line. You know, I mean, that interior from right to left goes Zeitler, Treader, Batonio. That's pretty good, man. And they were good last year. I think they'll run the ball well, you know. So this is a decent group for sure. They absolutely have receivers. And one of the problems last year was that their receiving core couldn't be counted on to be where they needed to be. And they weren't following the scheme all that well. And it is, and that was one of the problems with Jarvis Landry, actually, in Miami. I mean, despite him being a reliable player and getting a lot of targets, that was one of Gase's concerns with him, you know, was you're not where I want you to be. That's not exactly Josh Gordon's game either, but he's crazy talented, and he flashed that again. By no means does he look washed up or not the player he used to be. So just the fact that Gordon and Landry on the field together is going to cause problems. I feel like we've written off Corey Coleman too early. I mean, I think he can be a deep threat, but more than that, it's put up or shut up time, though. And it also wouldn't blow me away if somebody offered them a draft pick and he ended up playing somewhere else, which might be great for him. I'm a big David Njoku fan. I think he's got a chance to be a massive mismatch guy in this league. He flashed a lot as a rookie as well. Duke Johnson was really their slot receiver last year. I mean, he basically was more wide receiver than he was running back. I think he's an excellent player. I thought he had a really good year in a tough matchup. But, I mean, now when he's on the field, he's always going to be one-on-one when you got Landry, Coleman, Njoku, Duke, and Gordon on the field. I mean, he might eat up linebacker coverage this year even more. I've always been a Carlos Hyde fan apologist, you know, slash apologist as well. I've always said, and he proved me kind of right last year, that he's not a terrible receiver, that he has value as a little more than just a dump-off guy. And he did that in Shanahan's system. Staying on the field has plagued him, to say the least, but I think he's a high-quality runner. I mean, I think he's probably the 10th to 12th best running back in the league, like I said. Good line. They should be able to stick with the running game. I don't think that they'll go after Barkley. Maybe they would pick him at 4 if he's there, but maybe they'll use a third round pick on another back, you know, as insurance for Hyde. But I think really you could do a heck of a lot worse than Duke and Hyde as your running backs. That's a pretty good group. Browns defense. There's also a lot here. I mean, namely Myles Garrett. I mean, I think Myles Garrett, he played a little over 500 snaps last year, which is about half of what you ideally want. I think he's going to be, if healthy, maybe as soon as this year, a defensive player of the year type of guy. You know, in that conversation, like a Bosa or a Mack. I mean, I think he will be at that level soon. I mean, real soon. A special player. Ogba's a nice player, Emmanuel Ogba, and if he's your bookend, fine. But with your resources, wouldn't Bradley Chubb be better? You know, and maybe Ogba can be your Michelob Ultra version of a Michael Bennett, maybe. I mean, he's a power player that I think you could bump him inside on throwing downs, and maybe that's how you use him best. You know, move him, play him over the tight end on 1st and 10. And move him inside, especially if you had a really dynamic edge rusher. And I don't love Bradley Chubb, but if he's sitting there at 4, pass rushers don't grow on trees, and you put him opposite Garrett for the next 5 years or so, that's potentially special in a Chargers-like manner, even though these guys are even a little bit bigger. Carl Nassib, Nate Orchard, are contributors. You know, they can play some snaps for you. They do some good things. I don't think they're great players. A potentially great player is Larry, I always say his name wrong, Ogunjobi. I don't know why that's so hard for me to say, but he is a really, really good player, and he's an attacking player. He's a bowling ball. They have Jamie Meter. They have Taven Coley. Caleb Brantley had some pedigree coming out of school. And I know Shelton didn't fit in, but I think they could really use a defensive tackle. You know, that seems to be a need that isn't getting talked about a lot here. That Ogunjobi, I again said it wrong, is a fixture and a potential Pro Bowl guy soon. But if that early second round pick could be a defensive tackle, you know, I mean, Deron Payne, somebody like that, that could really complete them up front. I mean, I feel like one of the, actually both, you know, an edge guy and or D tackle, penetrating type. If you could add two of those with your top four picks, you're really building something around Garrett. And there are other needs, but you guys know I love defensive linemen. Their linebackers are really good. You're sitting there going, what do you mean their linebackers are really good? Oh, yeah, Jamie Collins. I forgot they had Jamie Collins. I'm not sure Jamie Collins is one of their best three linebackers. I mean, Joe Schobert played over 100 snaps or 1,000 snaps last year. He's good at the line of scrimmage. He's tough as nails. He plays a run well. He offers a little bit as a pass rusher. I mean, you don't want him going man-to-man with Travis Kelce, but he can do some of that. He's a quality player. Like I said, he was an every-down guy for them. Christian Kirksey is somewhat of a star. I mean, he is a really active player, too, the leader of the defense. These two are always where they need to be, which you can't always say about Collins. So, in a way, Collins is kind of the third guy. It's interesting. I'm curious how that'll all work out. But they don't need linebackers. And in a way, they can't get all three on the field enough because, you know, in today's sub-package football, that's not, you're not going to play with three linebackers on a high percentage of downs. I mentioned Peppers before. I had mixed feelings about him a year ago coming out of Michigan. But they absolutely could not have used him any more wrong. I mean, he was a linebacker, basically, at Michigan. And they used him 25 yards off the ball in deep middle. And I've been told, and I bet there's a lot of, you know, truth to this, was they knew that they were overmatched. And the whole goal was don't allow huge plays. And while that isn't Pepper's best role, their best guy to do that was Peppers because they didn't have anybody else. Fine. I mean, okay. So that's why you trade for Demarius Randle. I assume you'll stick him in mid-center field. Maybe you'll draft somebody, a true free safety. Okay, so maybe the book isn't written on Peppers. Was, hey, if we give the Browns and Greg Williams benefit of the doubt and say, hey, we know we're not using you to your strengths, but we don't have anybody else that can do this role. You know, we have Kendred, who's a strong safety and a good athlete, and we're going to keep him near the line of scrimmage. He absolutely can't do what we're asking of you. So this is a work in progress. Your first year, you're going to stumble, and you'll get some much-needed experience as a deep player. But now we're going to use you in year two that we've got a free safety. We're going to move you near the line of scrimmage, and you're going to be our joker, do-everything guy. Cool. Okay, I mean, if that's how it goes, then great. I mean, that's a nice plan that he's, you know, and he suffers some growing pains, to say the least, in his rookie year. So we'll give him the benefit of the doubt there. So you got Randle, you got Kindred, you got Peppers at safety. They also have a lot of corners. Like I said, they added Gaines, Carey, Mitchell. I really like Gaines. I don't have much faith in the other two. Again, I don't understand why you ship McCourty out. But there are a lot of bodies here. Jamar Taylor. I would think Gaines and Taylor are your starters, but again, they like Carey and especially Mitchell much, much more than I do. Brian Boddy Calhoun, also I thought really had a under-the-radar strong season, a lot of man coverage. You know, instead of playing so much off coverage with he and Taylor, I think that you can hopefully now and use them right and play some more press man with these guys. There's a lot of corners. I mean, again, I would have kept McCourty. So that's the state of the Browns. I mean, that's basically the article I wrote up, you know, going through the whole team. There are some things to get excited about. Do you trust the people in charge, ownership, coach, Dorsey? They are going to add some big-time talents in the next couple weeks here, too. So maybe the plan's coming into place, you know, and let me know what you think. Like I said, check this one out. This one's for free. You can read it basically kind of like how we just talked at williamsonfootball.com. And certainly check out Locked On Browns and the rest of the Locked On Network. Over and out. Take care.